This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Hi, I'm Kim Salmon. I'd like to have a quick word about public radio, particularly 3CR. The thing about public radio is that it's more open than the more formatted types of radio to what's going on around it. So when you listen to it, you're more likely to hear a reflection of real life. And 3CR, being in the heart of Smith Street, Collingwood, is a particularly good example of what I'm talking about. If you'd like to subscribe, the number is 94198377.
You've been listening to the same.
The best routes are the ones you haven't ridden. You could pedal the same loops year after year. Many people do, literally or figuratively. But to grow, you need new rides, risks. Turn down lanes you've long seen but never travelled. Get lost once or twice, then double back to where you started and try again. Live like this, and you come to see unknown territory not as threatening, but as intriguing. That's from Mark Remy. And where are you, David?
Well, we know where we're going, but we don't know where we've been, and we know.
Yes, and work it out, we will. You're listening to the Arabug Radio Show here on the 3CR. Podcasting, streaming, or listening on that transistor in the kitchen. Step away from the bike for a little bit because we have got a really good show coming on. We're going to have a look at a serious look with our guest, Matthew. Good morning, Matthew. Oh, sorry, Matthew, I'll have to say that again. Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning.
And good morning, Faith.
Good morning, Val.
We have got a bit of a show up coming up this morning. We're going to look at how the TAC works and what you would expect from it. But first off, we're going to start the conversation with a bit of a bicycle moment. And, Faith, you want to lead us off?
Yeah. Just gone completely blank. I had one this morning.
Yeah, had one 2 weeks ago.
So, I know what it is. And I meant to look this up. When you come off the Capital City Trail on the down towards Edinburgh Gardens,
yep,
that last road you cross to enter Edinburgh Gardens,
yes,
is now,
yes,
a priority bike and pedestrian crossing.
It is.
So that completes that loop all along the Capital City Trail, along Park Street,
yep,
and then where every time you cross a road except St George's Road, bikes and pedestrians have priority and cars have to give way. And so that last little section has also been done. So, that was a nice surprise this morning.
Yeah, it was a bit of a hoot, actually. I rode home from my bike 4 hours, actually, the other week. We rode back along that way, and somebody who hadn't been along there the other way was completely stunned that you just had that whole ride virtually from, is it Ligon or Nicholson, all the way through to Edinburgh Gardens and then to the swimming pool.
Yeah, Alfred Crescent.
Yeah.
So that starts Bowen Crescent back towards Brunswick. There's priority there, and it's now complete except for those two traffic lights, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Matthew, yourself, you got a bike moment to share with us?
Well, I've got a few, but I've had to rack my brain to think of a pleasant one. One of my fondest memories of being on the bike was I did the Great Vic ride a few years ago, and on a closed road on a windy downhill run, running down into Lawn. From up in the hills, and it was a beautiful morning, and it was crisp and clear and lovely, and the sheer thrill of going really, really fast down a hill was such a rush. And and later on, I looked at I had a bike computer plugged in. I looked at it, and my speed had peaked at 75 kilometres an hour, which doesn't sound much to a motorist, but I might have been breaking the sound barrier.
Yeah.
It's absolutely hypnotic.
Beautiful. I must admit, I prefer to climb. I don't like going downhill anymore. Maybe once, a long time ago, but no, I'm a little bit shy of them, I must admit. Hey, I'm going to bring up the Roubaix as a bike moment. It is interesting to me, looking at it, how much it has diversified over 20 years, which so it should. Great number of kids, great whole family atmosphere, a lot of happiness, a lot of joy. I've got to say, Darth Vader on electric guitar underneath the Tullamarine Freeway opens up a whole new world to me about bike riding. But look, Andy, very well done. It was obviously a very successful day. Yeah. Really good. Now, Faith, we should touch on a bit of news first.
So just capping last week, we have over the last few weeks been talking about the City of Melbourne a bit and the changes to the budget for building the bike network on local roads in the City of Melbourne, which was drastically cut. there were over 1,500 submissions and people speaking at the council meeting till the early hours of the morning, and they have reinstated some of the funding. $6 million has been put back into the program, bringing it up to a total of $15 million over the next 4 years, which is not the $20 million over 4 years that it should be and that Nick Rees committed to maintaining as one of his election promises. But it is some improvement. There's still no real clarity on how that's being used, whether it will be used to build the new lanes that need to be done to meet the deadline of 2030, or whether it will be used to install the bluestone required from the for the city design. But some improvement, but still a lot of questions left about getting the bike network built and what this council's commitment is to the City of Melbourne's transport strategy.
Watch this space. It'll be interesting to see what actually happens and what gets built.
Can I just jump in there?
Yeah.
Of course.
If the city's spending money, they've got to spend money on maintenance of the bike lanes that are already there.
Yeah.
Because, as I was saying to Faith before, they're like Roubaix.
Yeah.
And it's a good point. Like, there's this funding that's been required to build the network.
Yeah.
And there should be a separate maintenance budget so that lanes can be maintained while they're still building the network they made a commitment to.
And when they dig up the road to put in some service or other, it's the bike lane it's the bit that gets dug up. And then when they finish the work, they patch it really badly, so you get these horrific bumps, and some places they're horrible.
When I'm talking about my fear of descending, and part of it's driven, if you ride down Albert Street that runs into Elizabeth Street, that spot after Clarendon Street, if you ride down there more than 10 kilometres an hour, the bike will throw you off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I mean.
Yeah. And don't clean it, obviously. No street sweeping or anything like that. So, more bike lanes for everybody.
Well, because they separate the bike lane, the street sweeper can't get into them.
I know.
Well, you do. Even Marybeck has sweepers that can fit into them. So
good old Marybeck.
There's no excuse for not having sweepers that fit into your infrastructure.
Well, Marybeck's always been at the forefront of innovation. I think it's basic logic.
Well,
been at the forefront of basic logic, if you could put it that way. Hey, listen, we're just going to go to a break for a sec. But before I do, look, I know everybody out there is listening, is a long-term listener to 3CR. But what we're happening at the moment, we're having a listener survey to actually try and give us a few hints about how to improve. So you'll have seen this up on the website, but if you're not aware of it, it hasn't closed on the 30th of June. We're running it for another week. So just jump onto 3scr.org.au/survey and help us improve 3CR.
The Melbourne Documentary Film Festival returns to Cinema Nova this July for Past, Present, Future. Beginning on July 15, warm up the cold winter days with a revitalising collection of local and international documentaries from independent and emerging talents. Melbourne Documentary Film Festival, a jewel in Melbourne's cultural crown. Screening from July the 15th for a limited time at Cinema Nova. 380 Lygon Street, Carlton. Cinema Nova is a 3CR supporter.
And you're back listening to the Yarrabug Radio Show on 3CR. As we mentioned earlier, our guest today is Matthew Peckham. And Matthew's here today to share a story about his experience riding his bike with the limitations of our TAC insurance. Welcome to the studio, Matthew.
Thank you.
Maybe, probably a story you'd hope never to have to tell. Maybe we should just recap before we start what TAC is. And
TAC is, the initials stand for Transport Accident Commission. And it is the government organ, the state government organ that provides insurance to compensate people who are injured in what they define under the regulations as transport accidents, and it is funded by people's motor car registration fees.
But it doesn't only cover people in motor cars, does it, currently?
No, it doesn't only cover people in motor cars, but what it does cover is people who are injured in an accident involving a motor car or a tram or a train. So if none of those, and when they say motor car, it is a registerable motor vehicle, which is an abominable expression, but what it means is you can't get off the hook by saying the car wasn't registered, it doesn't count. If it's legally on the road, it's legally supposed to protect people from being injured by it. So what that means is if you're a pedestrian and you fall flat on your face because you tripped in a pothole crossing the road, you're not covered. If you're a pedestrian and you collide with someone on an electric motorbike with Foodora bags on the back, you are not covered. If you are on a bicycle and you crash into a parked car, even if that car was parked by someone who didn't have a license, wasn't entitled to have a license, even if the car was unregistered, you are entitled to compensation. But if your accident involves a mere crash because, for example, you swerved to avoid a pedestrian who stepped off the pavement right in front of you because he was intent on his telephone and not looking at the traffic, you are not covered.
And so tell us about, you've started there.
Yeah, I preempted a bit because that is precisely what happened to me in January this year. And I was quite badly injured, and the effects of my injury 6 months later are still quite apparent and not incapacitating but inconvenient. And I swerved to avoid a pedestrian, and actually, I was riding in a protected bike lane, and because I swerved to miss him, I hit the concrete pitcher thing that is there to delineate the bike lane, and crashed.
Yeah,
and I thought, oh well, I'll report the accident to Bicycle Network, of which I'm a member, and seek their advice, and expecting that their connection with legal practice would expedite my application to TAC for compensation. But I took one conversation to discover that, as I've said, because no motor vehicle was directly involved, I was not covered. Mm-hmm. So I thought, that doesn't sound right. So I wrote to the Minister for Transport, assuming that she was the minister responsible, when I was looking her up, I discovered on her webpage, that one of the things she bragged about was a speech she had recently made, declaring that nothing had higher priority than the safety of cyclists. And so I wrote to her and got a reply back from her department saying that she's not the right minister. It's Ben Carroll, the minister for the TAC. So I wrote again to him, and nothing happened. I wrote to my local member. I copied that letter to my local member, who is a excellent Dr. Tim Reed. He's an excellent supporter of cycling, and he was sympathetic and actually asked a question in the Parliament, to which no response has yet been made, as far as I'm aware. But I eventually got a letter back from Minister Carroll's department, which explained basically that I wasn't covered because the TAC funds couldn't afford that expense. And once again, I got this most irritating, annoying and illogical response based on the assumption that you're not entitled to compensation because you don't, as a cyclist, you don't pay car registration. To which my response is, I do pay car registration. I have paid car registration for many years, and the car that is I own, that is legally registered, is parked on my own property in a carport where it is neither contributing to pollution nor congestion nor road accidents.
Yeah. What is there an assumption there that if I don't pay registration, I'm not insured at all? I know that, can you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah. The assumption makes none of those assumptions make any sense at all. I have words from the minister's office actually saying that the idea of the insurance is to cover everybody who uses the roads.
Yeah.
But in the same paragraph, he interprets that to mean that that cyclists are excluded.
Yeah.
The absurd nonsense that if you crash your bike it's on the road, it's not a transport accident.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this legislation, it was, I think you pointed out, it's 1986. So it's a lot. Things, we can change things and update them.
The minister could change that regulation, in a coffee break.
I was under the impression early days, if you ran into a parked car, you still weren't covered on a bicycle.
That was changed.
And that changed.
That did change.
So things can change.
There were days when basically you weren't on a bike, you weren't covered at all.
Unless you were travelling to or from work. There was some really weird thing.
It was Workcover, it was a Workcover insurance claim, and Workcover was on the brink of going bankrupt. Back in the 90s.
Yep.
And so all those transport accidents got transferred to TAC.
Yep.
And who aren't broke, obviously. They got, I'd love to know how much money they got in the kitty, but it's, you know, they're not broke. You know, they've had, they've had a few hundred bucks from me for 50 years.
And
I'm not saying that entitles me to get something back.
No, but entitles you
to. I'd like to say that maybe it should.
But the idea that we contribute to a system and pool resources so that then no one, even if they're not contributing for whatever reason, gets left behind. That's we do that with education. We do that with health system. You know, you can argue about whether it could be done better or not, but that's an idea that we use on multiple occasions in...
It's the social contract.
Yeah.
It's been a integral part of our systems of government for hundreds of years. It's not a new thing, but there is... I mean, everybody, you guys know, and I'm sure everybody who tunes into this program is aware of a sort of prejudice that many motorists have against people on two wheels.
Yep.
And the sense that they are more entitled to the road than we are.
Yeah.
And you know, it goes right down to people thinking they're entitled to park their car on the street in front of their house.
Yeah. The trouble is we've institutionalised that.
Totally.
That negative feeling. To point of fact, that I mean, the basis of the TOC is no fault. You know, if I'm in a collision with a unregistered driver driving an unregistered car, unlicensed driver driving, I'm still looked after.
Yeah.
There's no, because I've injured, I'm entitled to help getting my body back to gear without worrying about who caused it. So the essence of it is you find no fault. So we're not going to find the fault against the pedestrian that your interaction is, but that's part of
it. No, well, you can't anyway because he ran away.
But that's the system relies on that fact that we don't spend all that time investigating. We accept that we don't find fault in it, but we look after somebody who's there. Yeah.
Yep. And the TAC insurance, what does that cover when people are, if you work?
It covers all your medical costs. It covers...
Because a lot of those ongoing costs aren't covered by Medicare, are they? If you've got a physio...
I mean, my out-of-pockets as a result of that incident in January of over $3,000.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, and I have private health insurance, and I got compensation through because of my bicycle network membership. For the period of which I couldn't work. And TAC would basically provide the same sort of cover. One of the rules of any insurance is you can't be insured twice for the same thing. So if Bicycle Network hadn't covered me, then theoretically, TAC might have, but they you can't claim from two people, which is reasonable.
Yeah,
it makes it complicated because the amount of paperwork you have to do, especially when you don't have I don't have permanent employment. I'm a freelancer, and I was at the time of my accident, I had just finished a period of work as a casual employee. The day after, I got a phone call from my employer saying, "Oh, we've just got some, some more work on that same project.
Yeah.
Are you available?" I said, "No, I'm in hospital with four broken ribs." I didn't get that work.
And it's again that compensation via the insurance for those things. If you do have private insurance like yours with the Bicycle Network, that's great. But it should not be that we rely on everyone being able to have private insurance.
No.
There should be a fallback with the TAC that you can be covered.
Well, ostensibly, that's what it's there for.
Yeah.
And the, you know, the thing that I just wanted to draw attention to is this absurd circumstance that is seems almost intentionally to be written to exclude people on bicycles.
Yeah. How do we change?
Oh, we persuade the minister to take his biro out and make a few changes to the regulations under the Act, which would be the work of a moment.
It's a regulation. It doesn't need legislation.
No. It doesn't have to take an Act of Parliament.
Yeah.
And the question you always have to ask any politician is, if I do this, will it win me votes or cost me votes? And I can't imagine there'd be much arithmetic in that question either way.
Yeah.
No.
Is it going to be, you know, if it changed, would all the motorists who feel that cyclists shouldn't be on the roads be up in arms?
Well,
would they object?
Why am I paying my insurance to help some? you'd bring out those feelings, but obviously, say with your Tim Rice, the local member, there can be a push. That push can start.
It's Tim Reid.
Tim Reid, sorry.
Tim Rice is a musician.
Yeah. Is he a musician? Oh, anyway, don't.
He was a composer.
Yeah.
A lyricist, that's what he is.
Sorry to all the Tims. But that's a beginning, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it's not impossible to change these things. Oh. The only unfortunate part is there's no fiscal monetary aspect to this which makes them look at it. You know what I mean? It's not.
Some boffin in the department would have to do some sums and work out how much it was plausibly going to cost the TAC. And I struggle to imagine that the figure would be crippling.
And I'm saying that as a route to change. That obviously doesn't change the underlying principle that if you're a road user, you should be entitled to coverage.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And the minister, Ben Carroll, does commute to work by bike. Would hope he might be able to see the usefulness of that change.
It's tempting to step off the footpath in front of him with my phone in my hand.
Delivery of pizza on foot. It has been a long, as we've mentioned, 86 to now. It's a long history of there have been a couple of changes.
And adapting it as you realise things are needed so that can happen again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is always going to be a little bit of confusion. You mentioned Bicycle Network, whether you're insured medically, privately, what is the insurance with Bicycle Network return to you? Actually, it doesn't cover those costs, the medical costs, and that's a big thing.
Well, it only covers the things that aren't covered by Medicare, but Medicare only covers a fraction of most of the costs anyway, so it all just adds up.
And the
compensation for lost work time is capped at a figure which is substantially below what practically anyone's regular average weekly earnings are.
Job seeker, so that's a bit low. Listen, then, thanks, Matthew, for coming in. Any other advice you can give somebody? I ask that in line of how do you actually then push back about it? I mean, you're proactive about it. A lot of people wouldn't be proactive about this.
Well, we can all write to our local members of Parliament and ask them to bring it to the minister's notice to ask a question in the House.
Yeah.
It's good to have someone like Tim Reid.
Yeah.
I can't speak highly enough. He is a terrific local member because he looks after the local, after the people in his electorate in every way he can think of. It's all you need to do. Just get a voice, get it said again.
Yeah.
That's how change happens.
I don't think I could have put that any better. And you're on the home of 3CR here, Radio Radical Radio. Look, that's about all we've got time for this week. Many thanks, Matthew, for coming in. I'm sure a lot of people we'll get a little bit of clarity about what actually is going on with TAC and maybe be able to work out something a bit better.
Coming
Thank up, you for having me.
No, a pleasure. Coming up next, look, I'm going to hit automatic on the DINSAT, so it's a little bit of a lucky dip.
We'll see.
And we'll see. But Chris will be along next week, obviously, and we'll be along the week after, and a safe ride.
This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.